And let me say this to you. The only way to become that child of God is through baptism. It's not through a sinner's prayer. It's not through living the right kind of life, because none of us can live that life. It is through accepting Christ in baptism, being buried with Him. I was telling this story to the lady I was doing the Bible study, and I said, you stand over here and you decide that you're going to kill yourself so that you can live for Christ. And you go down into the water, and we bury you in the water just like Christ was buried. I said, the only good thing is I don't hold you under for 3 days. And then you come up out of the water and you're a different person, because Christ's Spirit then lives in you and you are a child of God. People have asked me, said, Neil, can you help me find my calling in this life? People have careers, but they want that calling. And that calling is so much more than a career. It's the calling is the thing that will last beyond you. And people know, if you know me at all, you know that my calling is people. I live to talk and love and introduce people to Christ. And that's what I really want to do. As a matter of fact, I got to do a Bible study this past Thursday. And when I got through with the Bible study, I just got in the car and I just praised God for allowing me to do this in my life. But my calling is not necessarily your calling, and people have different callings. I had one lady from Kentucky I've known for over 20 years, and she came to me and she said, what is my calling, Neil? And I said to her, it is serving. And she said, Well, that's not really my calling. I said, yes, it is. You are known to be a servant. You are constantly serving. Some people's calling may be to help by being generous to others. I don't know what your calling exactly is, but I do know how to help you find your calling. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. And I want you, as we take these lessons, I want you to find your calling, because that will last beyond your lifetime. It will last for all eternity. And we want to be eternal thinking people, not temporary thinking people. So as we go through these lessons, I'm hoping that you will start to drill down, because it takes a while sometimes to find your calling. I'm hoping that you will drill down and you will find your calling. The scripture that was read to you just a few moments ago, there's some insights there that I want you to see. First of all, in verse 4, take your pens out and underline these words. Even before He made the world, God loved us. Even before He made the world, God loved us. That's significant right there, because what you need to see is that before you were born, God loved you. Now, go down to verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into His family. Underline those words. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family. And I love verse 8, because I think this is so critical to your walk with God. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Now, that means that He has given it to us, and it's up for us to take it. We've got all wisdom and all understanding, but it comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. So the very first purpose in your life is to be loved by God. The first purpose in this life for you is to be loved by God. It is not for you to love God as much as it is for you to be loved by God. And I think that's probably one of the things that we forget, that God, before the beginning of the world, loved us. Long before we were ever born, He had a plan in mind for us to be His children. Jude, and I'm bringing up the book of Jude, because as members at North Tampa Church of Christ, when you get to heaven and somebody talks about Jude, It's a little bitty book. I want you to be familiar with it, okay? Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God. Underline in love, who are loved by God and the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. So if my first purpose in this life is to be loved by God, my first calling is a relationship with God. If my first purpose is to be loved by God, my first calling is a relationship with God. You need to understand that before you can go out into this world and figure out who you are and what you're going to be. We talked about that in class this morning. You've got to understand that your first purpose in this life is a relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship with God, you're going to flounder the rest of your life because you're going to go after things that really don't matter eternally. I mean, there's a lot of great things going on in this world today, amen? There's some wonderful places to go see, amen? There's some nice trucks to be had, amen? I mean, there are some wonderful things in this world. There's vacations. I have climbed to the top of mountains. I have scuba dived to depths, not too great, but, you know, pretty deep. And I have seen both the highs and lows of this world, and there's some beautiful places to see on this earth. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because those are all good things. But if I don't recognize that I need a relationship with God, all of those things are meaningless. I've got the CEV here from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, and I want you to underline this, to all who are chosen and loved by God. We are chosen and loved by God. So if you'll turn over in your notes, if you understand your first purpose and your first calling, what that means is that relationship is to be a son or daughter. You are to be a son or daughter of God. I love when I see these t-shirts where particularly women wear them that say daughters of the King. I love those because that's who we should identify with. We are not David Farr's kid, we are the son of the King. We are sons of God and daughters of God. And that's what that relationship needs to be. 1 John chapter 3, 1, the first part of it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Sometimes when I think about it, I have to sit down because I know how great God is. I know how lousy I am. I say things out of anger. I do things out of impulse. I had one of our deacons today slap me. He was telling a joke, and I nearly punched him. I am so human, it just makes me sick. But when I go to bed at night, and I reflect on my day, and there are some good things that I do occasionally, and I reflect on the good things and the bad things, I can go to sleep at night knowing that I am a child of God. And when people move away to Texas because their mom wants them to go, I can go to bed at night and I can be okay because I'm a child of God. You are either a son or daughter of God, and that is so important. Now let me say this to you. The only way to become that child of God is through baptism. It's not through a sinner's prayer. It's not through living the right kind of life, because none of us can live that life. It is through accepting Christ in baptism, being buried with Him. I was telling this story to the lady I was doing the Bible study, and I said, you stand over here and you decide that you're going to kill yourself so that you can live for Christ. And you go down into the water, and we bury you in the water just like Christ was buried. I said, the only good thing is I don't hold you under for 3 days. And then you come up out of the water and you're a different person, because Christ's Spirit then lives in you and you are a child of God. And as I'm telling her this, I wish you could have seen the emotion in her face as she realized what she needed to do. We are children of God through baptism. Now, one of the things I want you to understand today is that love that God has given us. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 shows us how to understand that love. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You see, we need God's love to keep us strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Underline verse 19, the first part. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes through God. You have to understand God's love for you in order to walk this walk. And so many of us don't understand that love. I've got down here, God's love is wide enough to be everywhere with everyone. God's love is wide enough to be everywhere with everyone. And I want you to understand that. When my boys were little, I was concerned that something would happen to them, either at school or someplace. And one of the things I wanted them to know, it was the number one rule, that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened to you, your mom and dad love you. And I want you to hear today that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happening to you, God loves you. That's how wide it is. The second thing I want you to know, it's long enough to last forever. It's long enough to last forever. We have this saying in our culture today where we fall in and out of love. Amen? We just fall in and out of love like this is just, well, we can love now. Well, God's love never fails. It lasts forever. It'll last today. It'll last tomorrow. It will last for all eternity. And you need to understand that's how long it is. It is so deep. It's deep enough to handle anything, which includes your rock bottom. His love is so deep that it will handle anything, including your rock bottom. Next slide, please. There we go. I knew they'd get to it eventually. I have dealt with many addicts over the years. And one of the things that I have seen is people have to hit their rock bottom. And some of them, it's different things for different people. There's this lady in Kentucky that I met 2 years ago that I went back to see. She works at Cracker Barrel, and I know you're surprised that I went to Cracker Barrel while I was up there. But she works at Cracker Barrel. She's been 15 years sober. And I said, "What was your rock bottom?" "The day I began serving my 5-year prison sentence. That was my rock bottom." I have another friend who got a DUI, and that was his rock bottom. I have another friend who lost his wife, his job, his home, his daughter, everything. And I met him because he didn't even have food to eat or a place to stay. That was his rock bottom. I don't care what you have done. I don't care where you are. God's love is deep enough to handle anything. And as long as we can remember that, no matter how stupid we are, no matter what kind of sin we fall into, God's love is deep enough to handle enough. And number four, it's high enough to rise above my mistakes. It's high enough to rise above my mistakes. And I continue to make mistakes, and so do you. But God's love doesn't come and go because I've made a mistake. God's love is consistent through all of that. So I've got 5 changes that will happen in you when you understand you're called to be loved. That's the very first thing. I want you to hear this. You're going to make some changes in your life when you start to understand God's love for you. There are still going to be temptations. There's still going to be, and it's a battle that goes on inside of me, and it's going to go inside of you. There is a spirit that God put inside of each one of us. It's called His Holy Spirit. And we either feed that spirit or we feed our spirit. And if we feed our spirit, guess who comes out? We do. But if we feed God's Spirit and we look for the things of God and let God's Spirit take over our lives, guess what comes out? But the very first thing you've got to understand is God's love for you in order to feed that Spirit. Because if you don't understand that, you're going to be constantly battling with yourself to feed your spirit, not God's Spirit. Number one, I will feel accepted instead of shame. I will feel acceptance instead of shame. There are a lot of things that I have done in my life that I am ashamed of. I don't want to list them all now, because if I did, y'all would probably fire me as a preacher and you wouldn't get to lunch on time. But there's a lot of things that I have done in my lifetime that I am ashamed of. But I don't live in that shame. I lived in the acceptance that I am a son of God. I am a child of God. Look at what Romans 5:1 says. By faith we have been made acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. Romans 8:33 and 34. If God says His chosen ones are acceptable to Him, can anyone bring charges against Him? Underline those words. If God says His chosen ones are acceptable to Him, can anyone bring charges against Him? I think one of the reasons why we don't do more for... Can anyone condemn them? No. Can anyone condemn them? No, indeed. No, indeed. I will boldly bring my needs before God. One of the things that I wish I could go back and tell my younger self is that it's going to be okay. I wish I could go back and tell myself it's going to be okay. We've had struggles in our life. We've had struggles in our marriages. We've had struggles with our finances. We've even had struggle with our kids from time to time. But I really wish I could go back and tell my younger self, quit being upset about this stuff. It's going to be all right as long as you keep God first. Look at what it says. Romans 8, 14 through 17, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we might also share in His glory. One of the things that I recognize that's going on right now, this vision that the church has put before the congregation is going to require some sacrifices from us. And I know some of you are concerned about that because of the fact that your finances may not be where you want them to be, or things are not where you think they should be, and you're not sure what to do. But I want to tell you this. One of the things that I have been doing this past week is I've been praying over my finances, and I have been saying, Lord, Nancy and I are getting older. There's going to come a day where I'm not going to work anymore. Are we going to make it? And over again, I hear God's voice, not in a literal way, but in a figurative way, tell me, Neil, I've got you this far. I'm going to take care of you the rest of the way. You see, my faith is not in me and my abilities. My faith is in God and being His child. And that brings me to my third point. I will have peace in my pain. I will have peace in my pain. Our brother Luke is losing his father. He's gone to go see him and be with him. And I cannot help but think of the pain that he is dealing with, because I dealt with it once, and I know several of you have dealt with it as well. But I can tell you that no matter how many people I lose on this earth, it's tough, but I always have peace in my pain because God loves me. Amen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I love this, and the peace of God, which transcends, and if you want to underline a word, underline all, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. One of our members, Art Adams, is on his way back from Atlanta. He buried his sister yesterday. And he called me and he asked for prayers as they were going into the service. And I wrote a prayer to our group that was in the text saying, you know, Art and Tanya are going into the service today. Let's pray for them. And I wrote this prayer in there, and I'm trying to remember it from memory, but it was basically, God, thank you for grief. For if we didn't have grief, we would never know love. And if we don't know love, we'll never know God. And we don't love because we love God. We love because God loved us first. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds when you're in pain. Number four, I will live fearlessly and take risk for God. I will live fearlessly and take risk for God. I've spent my whole life trying to avoid risk. You too, right? You buy insurance for your car because you don't want to have something happen and you go bankrupt. You buy insurance for your home because if it burns down, you don't want to have to go rebuild your house out of your savings account. You buy health insurance in case something happens. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of times when I go to the doctor, I think to myself, I am so glad for the health insurance I have, even though I don't like what the doctor's telling me. We avoid risk, but I'm going to say something. When you understand God's love for you, you're going to take risk for God. You're going to take risk for God, and it may very well be that risk is you sharing your faith with somebody you know. It may be a financial risk that you take in order to help the church out. It may be a time risk that you'd use. I hate to say this, but I have helped so many church members over the years, and only a few of them has it paid off, because most of them take the money and run. But you know what? I'm okay with it. Because they're not taking my money. They're taking God's money. So when I take a risk for God, God's the one who's going to determine whether it's blessed or not. Number five, this is so good. I will worship instead of worry. I will worship instead of worry. When we built this building several years ago, most of you don't even remember that because most of you weren't here. There's a few of us that are still left behind. But when we built this building, the bond company called me and wanted to ask me some questions. And I was at home because, like now, I don't have an office at the church. And I was at home, and I was sitting there at my desk. The phone rang, and I picked it up, and I'm talking to these guys. They're the bond company, and they're having a meeting to decide whether or not we're going to issue the bonds. And they asked me, are you going to be there? You're not planning on moving anytime soon? And I'm like, no, I'm not going anywhere. And they said, well, can you assure us that you will stay with the church until the bonds are paid off? And I said, whoa, that's a long time. And I said, I will assure you of this, that I will not leave that church until they're in a position to make sure those bonds are paid off. And the guy says, no, 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 we want your assurance that you will not leave the church until those bonds are paid off. And I said, okay, I'll make sure that happens. Hung up the phone. 15 minutes later, same guy calls back. He says, Neil, we've got one more assurance that we want from you. And I said, what's that? He says, we want you to give your word that you will make sure those bonds are paid off. And I said, what do you mean? He says, we want you to make sure that those bonds are paid off. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have that kind of money in my bank account, nor will I ever. And I thought, and I prayed, and I said, yes. Now that was $800,000 I had given my word that would be paid back. And there's no way in the world that Nancy and I could ever earn that kind of money to pay those bonds back. But you know what I did? Every time I started to worry, I worshiped. And my favorite time of all was after we got the building built, and they weren't even sure they were going to be able to pay me a paycheck because we were so tight on money. But my favorite time of all was our first Sunday before we had a grand opening or anything, where we got together as members and we came in here and we worshiped. In order to try to keep people excited about being in here, we were meeting on Wednesday night at a hotel. And I was teaching the kids by taking them over to IHOP next to the hotel. And I would promise them some kind of dessert if they would let me do the lesson. And most of the time they got dessert. And we would have dessert and we would sit over there. And then as soon as my hour was up with them, I didn't care what was going on at the hotel. Those kids went back to the hotel because they were a handful. And I'm looking out and I'm seeing a young man right now that's an adult. That one Wednesday night, I was teaching class, and I held him in my arms because he was upset and taught the entire class holding him. But every time, I didn't worry. I just worshiped. And God took care of it. Now, I will tell you this. The day we paid off those bonds, I was a happy man. I went around saying, free at last. Thank God I'm free at last. And the whole thing of it is, I could have given myself a heart attack worrying, or I could have worshiped. And there are some of you in here that you don't understand the love of God yet, so you worry instead of worship, but God has got you. God has got you. You have nothing to worry about because God's love is that great. And if you are children of God, that makes you co-heirs with Jesus. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument to evil to serve sin. And underline these words, instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The very last thing I want you to see in your sermon notes, the problem is not that we don't love God enough. The problem is that you don't understand how much God loves you. The problem is not that you don't love God enough. The problem is that you don't understand how much God loves you. And I wish I had another 2 hours to explain this to you. But I want you to know, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happening to you right now, there is a God in heaven, the creator of the universe, and He loves you. And if you want to know your calling, you need to know that God loved you first. And if you want to know your purpose, your number one purpose, that is a relationship with God. We sing this invitation each week. I heard in class today, we're talking about communion where we reflect on things, but also another time where we reflect on things is when we sing this invitation song. We reflect where we are in Christ. We reflect where we are in our relationships with others. And when we sing this invitation song, it's an opportunity for you to come before God and say, God, I need some help with this. I need to repent of this. I need to make changes. It's also a chance for you to encourage your brothers and sisters. One of the things I love the most about coming into this church on Sunday morning is the love that I feel. And it may very well be today that you haven't felt that love from this church and you haven't felt that love from God and things are going bad in your life and you need some encouragement. I'm going to just say, come down front. Let us love you like God loves you. Let us show you His love. And if you're in sin and you need to repent in a public way, you can do that. But if you're here today and you've never been buried with Christ in baptism, you've never said, I'm going to kill myself so that I can be buried with Christ and that I can rise up and walk in this new life with God's Spirit in me, you can do that today as well. Let us stand as we sing.